Sam.
Hello and welcome to Slacky Brown's presentation of the first ever episode of Where Do You Stand? On this episode, this inaugural episode, I sit with my friends, Eric Flora and John Glenn from the band Stellar Young, and Brian Gallio, known as B. Francis, and we discuss the 1995 hit How Bizarre by OMC. So keep it locked. So, Where Do You Stand, episode one, main event. Let's talk a little bit about a song from 1995. 100 million plus plays on Spotify. The lead single from the only album of the same name. The band from New Zealand. The song is, of course, How Bizarre by OMC. That bridge was a comfort. Cena just hides her eyes. Policeman taps the shades of Zella Chevy 69. How bizarre. This song to me has had a hell of a run. Let's just start there. It kind of took over the airwaves in the 96, 97 region. My mom bought the CD for God knows why. But recently, and this is kind of why I wanted to talk about it first, is I'll read you what the Wikipedia entry has on this subject. In the months leading up to March 2021, there had been a resurgence of the song's popularity secondary to its adaptation by many users of TikTok. Over 100,000 videos have incorporated the song's lyrics and videos showing awkward conversations and strange coincidences. The How Bizarre hashtag has generated more than 1.4 billion views. How Bizarre the album was reissued globally on vinyl for the first time in April 2001.
Well, the reissue had to be from TikTok, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, there's no way. I think either the label or the band saw what was happening here, and like, look, it was on Instagram too. I don't even have TikTok. I noticed it on Instagram with, like, I feel like there were videos with like Johnny Sins, the porn star, being like this woman behind me stuck in the dryer or in the washing machine, and he's going like, how bizarre. This is a porn star being like making a bit. I just think the song's got enough merit for us to talk about here. I personally, I'll start. Where do I stand? I love this song. I think it's a great song, but I think it's interesting to discuss here because there are a lot of things about it that are strange, and it doesn't seem like the kind of tune that would become a pop hit in 1990. Well, maybe in the late 90s. That was a weird time. But there's like the intro guitar, you know, the lead guitar is like slightly out of tune. Mm-hmm. So let me put it out to you guys, because I can talk about this. Like I said, my mom had the record when I was 9 years old or whatever, you know, 10 years old, not even eight. So Eric, where do you stand? How bizarre.
Hate it.
Do you?
hate it. So bad. Yeah. All right. So I dug back into How Bizarre today, and it's kind of bizarre. It got so fucking popular. It is a true trash song, man. So it's this one-off band, right? That fucking put out one thing, and they were active from 95 to 2010.
Wow. One album.
One album.
Wow.
And they got mad that everybody called them a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. Turns out they were.
Not according to New Zealand. They were like New Zealand's like fucking Michael Jackson at one point.
But only because of that song, though.
Because of that song. But yeah, they had two other singles off that record that New Zealand loved and nobody else liked. They never really charted in the U.S. was because they didn't... initially during the release were not allowed to commercially be sold, so they didn't get to top the Billboard charts, which is kind of fucking weird rule. Like yeah, to even think that that's a thing now when everybody just streams. And it's like, no, that doesn't count.
Right. It took a while for like the, I think it took a little bit for the record to come out here.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. because once they saw the success in New Zealand.
This is the Gangnam Style of New Zealand. All right.
Ooh, that's a good call, Ian. Mm.
This is 100% that because their whole name is kind of like a play on like this ghetto of Auckland in New Zealand. And then they're calling themselves a millionaires club. I forget what the O stands for, but basically
Otara, like, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So
wow, look at this.
Change it to OMC to be the Otara Millionaires Club, which is basically what Psy was doing with Gangnam Style.
Right.
By like calling out like a bougie thing that isn't that fucking cool. And well, I guess to us, because we don't care about anything outside of the US, right? And quoted. Where do you stand? God, man, yeah, we're cool. Just getting too many bad pull quotes today. That's a joke. It's a humor. Yeah, so I just read the lyrics. Okay. Yeah. The first verse is about just like driving down a car and a cop pulled me over and was like, never mind. And like, you that was cool.
I like your car.
Yeah, yeah. And then it goes into this like whole, hey, I saw this like flyer for like the circus and like that face looked familiar. It's crazy. And then the next verse is like, this is like part of the circus stuff and I'm tired of writing. If you want to hear any more, you're going to have to pay me. And like, that's how, like, that's the music drop. What's the music drop lyric right there? Dang.
Want to know the rest, hey? Buy the rights.
Yeah, buy the rights.
Buy the rights. Yeah.
Like, listen, this guy that looks like he had sex with, you know, the Rock and Rob Schneider fucked and like.
And, oh my God. Like, well, wait, what do you actually hate about it though? Like,
there's no content. It doesn't like it's,
the lyrics.
It's in late. It makes less sense than the Macarena does to me.
Wow.
And damn. I just, it's not that crazy good of a song. I know he died young and. It's shitty. Sorry.
Did he pass away?
Yeah, he passed away when he was 40.
Oh wow, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, young guy. Right. But just to call him like the Michael Jackson in New Zealand, and there you go.
All right. I like that take. I really like that take. Thank you for doing that, John. OMC, how bizarre, John Glenn. Where do you stand?
So guys, here's where I stand. I stand underneath a huge rock. I didn't know about this TikTok phenomenon. I did not know about it whatsoever. I've heard this song a billion times growing up on the radio. Like, we all know it. Mm-hmm. And then you said by OMC. I didn't even know. I was like, how bizarre by OMC. And I played it. And I said, this isn't OMC. This is Sugar Ray. I was thinking, I was like, this is a Sugar Ray song for sure. I was thinking of the all around the world, statues crumble for me. Because it has that kind of like.
It could definitely be a Sugar Ray song.
I was like, definitely. I was like, who the hell is this? I watched the video. The video is super awkward. But what you guys need to know about me is I love
awkward videos.
I love awkward things. I love it so much. I
including loved, music videos.
I love the video. I thought it was so bizarre.
Pun intended, I suppose. And but yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
And I don't know, man. I don't hate it. I did not do my research like Eric did. I didn't know anything about this. I do agree that kind of like bragging about, it's kind of douchey bragging about a millionaires club or whatever, but I don't really care. I don't really care. I like it. I jam out to it. Reminds me of Sugar Ray. Didn't know. Didn't know.
Okay. All right. Brian Francis Gallio, OMC How Bizarre, where do you stand?
See, for me, it's like I hear it and it's super nostalgic. So it's hard to, like, I can't say I hate it. I don't love it.
Yeah. Okay.
But there is something to hearing those songs that are like, you know, how often do you hear that song when we're not doing a podcast about it? Like, probably once every.
It's rare.
Like 3 years or so. Like, I don't know.
Right.
So I don't know. There's something about hearing it that just brings me back to like being a kid in the 90s. Like, it kind of makes me like giddy a little bit. And I like that feeling. It is a weird as hell song.
A song is weird.
It's interesting that like that song sounds like the 90s to me, but there wasn't another, like the production on it, there's nothing that really sounded like that before. So it's interesting to be like, oh, that sounds like a 90s song, but it's just like, I think that nostalgia factor.
Right. And then Sugar Ray came along later and kind of had a sound like that and had hits from that. So like,
and it has point. That, it has that riff that's kind of like Los Lonely Boys too. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, it only it's going down instead of up, like,
and it's out of tune. Listen to it again. The when he switches, when they come back around to the one to repeat the phrase, it's like out of tune slightly, which I think is hilarious. That's like, so
they just left it.
Yeah, yeah, like kind of, it's almost like, I mean,
well, I don't know if they're going 440 in New Zealand.
Wow, that's true.
True. Wow, good point.
But also like post, you know, it's a post grunge pop tune. And yeah. I'm not sure, Brian, you can continue after this, but I'm not sure what they were really after with this. I don't know if they were trying to make a radio hit or they were, you know, because he's like spitting. He's kind of, I wouldn't call it rapping, but he's not in tune either. He can't fucking hold a note.
I gotta say this.
What's going on here?
This, I can't bite my lip about this.
Go.
I think that like a song should have a story, especially if it's like that big. And the fact that, you know, like again, it is this, were they purposely trying to get it out there like this or whatever, like. It's just kind of frustrating to like have such a popular song and then like this resurgence randomly.
I mean,
and
how do we know this?
It doesn't really have, because I've looked everywhere. I mean, yeah, unless there's still, some, unless we got to fly to New Zealand in Auckland and like find,
I'm sure there's books about
the
it,
producer
yeah.
and it's like, oh, listen, this was a deep song for so-and-so. They were.
Right. Here's what the here's what the Chevy line meant. There's a story behind the Chevy. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the point of the lyrics, though. Like, how bizarre. Like, they're not supposed to make sense. Well,
yeah, but that kind of shit, I can't stand. That's like modern art, like half of MoMA, like, ooh, Light from a Corner. It's called Light from a Corner because it's a corner.
I get
like,
it.
I just, I can't, I don't connect. I think it's so surface and I want things to mean more. And it's just kind of disappointing when, like, it's like you read about it, especially because like we were like looking into talking about like a specific song, like to like pick that song and then like try to like find something about it, and you're just met with like, yep, so they from New Zealand and
yeah, right, there's no like mythology or yeah, or kind
that's
of
what they did.
Yeah
it was these brothers. And
I think if it was like a band, maybe I'd need more of a story, but for a one hit song, I don't give a shit. It makes me feel a certain way. And you know what? I think what's interesting is that it is somehow circled back and tapping into some kind of like, you know, this kind of collective psyche that we're like, I don't know. I obviously am kind of oblivious to the TikTok thing, but I think this idea that everybody's like looking around their world and they're like, man, shit's
jumping
real
back
weird
on
right now, and this song is somehow speaking to that kind of feeling.
No, somebody just looked up what the word bizarre is, and then this fucking lyric popped up, and they're like, "Huh?
Oh, that could be cool for a TikTok."
But I mean,
but John,
so be
but
it.
John, you're right. You're right, John. Is that like, I think more so than the lyrics, I think there's a vibe to this tune, which is part of the reason for its resurgence. Probably, you know, attached to the phrase of the hook that's repeated over and over 47 times. He says bizarre in that one. No, but I think there's like something to grab onto with that vibe and the sunny, you know, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun, sunglasses on, like it's on my road trip playlist for that reason. There's an energy to this type of song that to me is like, especially from pop songs, it's kind of undeniable when a song smashes that hard on its initial release and then comes back. What are we're over 20 years later, 25 years later, there's something we have to examine that somehow, you know. And for me, it's always been, I've always loved this song. I think it's funny. I don't think it's anything to study by any means. There's nothing interesting about the production. It's three chords the entire song. I learned it before. It's C, G, F, the entire song. Ooh. So like, there's not a lot to learn from this kind of song, but when I think especially for an artist, when you grab either the zeitgeist or the, you know, the attention of the majority, and you can ride the coattails of a song like this for 10 years, I just think there it's that it's at least worth examining. And again, I've always loved the song. I think the lyrics are great. I think the vibe from the lyrics are great. And shout to Christine Salvia. I'm going to show this to her because we used to like recite the lyrics back to one another because we thought it was so funny. It's like, what is this song even about? Mm-hmm. But, you know, pop tunes are, I think, to me, pop tunes are allowed to do that. Isn't it ironic? You know, Alanis Morissette. There's nothing ironic about that entire song, but it's still a fucking great song, you know? B, why don't you finish up what you were going to say earlier?
I was going to say, like, what do you think it is that made it such a big hit? Like the weird production? I don't know. I feel like, I mean, that the early, like the 90s was just like throw whatever.
I'm going to say licensing.
Well, it was in the Parent Trap.
I think a couple other movies. That song getting brought over in the Parent Trap must have really blown it up. And then it turned into this like dance club mix because like everybody started sampling shit.
Right.
You know, and then like there's what, over 20 plus incarnations of the song now.
But what about it?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
what, like the original song, what made it so like catch people's ears?
Yeah, it's the phrase. It's that hook. Yeah, and his voice. We have to talk about his voice. There's nothing even close to that in the history of pop music that sounds like this man. You know.
Listen, no. What's those guys?
Crash Test Dummies?
No. Okay, anybody from New Zealand doesn't sound like this. Flight of the Conchords doesn't even sound like this.
Yeah, he's mumbling.
Like he's got this like cleft, like.
Yeah.
weird thing going on.
It's like Shaggy almost, like back of the throat. Like,
well,
you know what?
Yeah.
B, that's a good comparison because it wasn't me is a similar type of song.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't me is like this repeated phrase over and over, and you get that weird kind of throaty voice from Shaggy and like three, you know, it's three chord, same thing. But I think to examine why it was popular, I think you have to put it in context of the late 90s, right? And again, I don't even think it's
96.
Yeah, mid 90s. I don't think there's anything even worth mentioning about the production. It's not that it's weird, it's not that it's bad, it's not that it's good. It's just the song.
It's just this weird
time period for music especially, you know. But I think I haven't looked at the charts for when that was a number one. It was a number one for quite a while, even in the States. But, you know, the songs around it may give you an indication as to why, what was going on in music at this time. And I also think the 90s were like generally, for most people, a kind of prosperous post-Clinton kind of everyone had some money. Like things were pretty good in the country, you know, compared to the last 20 fucking years. But
20 bucks a CD at least, man.
Right. So like I just think in order to, I mean, because I remember when it came out, but we weren't like studying music at that point.
No.
John, what else you got?
I just from watching the video, it was just funny to me. It was just funny to me how
are they in a 69 Chevy
at one point, but mostly
just the first verse.
Mostly they're on this stage.
Green screened
with like women taking pictures of them, like kind of like attractive New Zealand women taking pictures of this group. And it's just really, I think it's just the guy.
Yeah.
And this one girl that looks like she,
the two characters. What's her name?
Fanny.
Yeah. there's two characters in the whole song.
Is it Tina? Tina. Sweet Tina. Tina.
And the other
Zena.
Zena.
And what's your guy's name?
Brother Pele.
The two of them in the back.
Brother Pele's in the back. Sweet Tina's in the front. Sweet Zena's in the front.
And it's just funny. It's something humorous about it to me because it all feels very kind of like contrived in a way. It's like,
Oh yeah.
Like absolutely. It doesn't seem to me like this is who they really are for some reason. I don't know.
Someone's like, let me read these lyrics and we'll do that.
we'll be on the stage.
Make this story.
And people will take pictures of us on the stage and it's fun. I don't know. It's funny. It's super cornball, but it's great.
I was listening on Spotify earlier and you know how the Genius plays along with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It opens up being like New Zealand's biggest export. I thought that was hilarious.
Well, that sounded like Peter Jackson, right? Is he from New Zealand or did they just shoot Lord of the Rings there? I don't know.
Shot it there.
Yeah. I think he's
Flight of the Conchords is New there. Zealand's.
I feel like Jackson's British.
No, I think he's. Go ahead, Eric. Let me hear more from you because I think he was born in New Zealand. But
yeah,
right. So to me the lyrics are like more than half of the fun, and I don't need lyrics to be like, especially in a pop song. Like I said, I don't need lyrics to be like to tell me a story. Mm-hmm. I think it's and there's no melody really even in the verse. Yeah. You know, he did it cruising down the freeway in the hot sun, and it's like there's a weird
dude. Yo, wait, I don't know if I made this up. Did I feel like people used to ask you to imitate the song in college?
This song?
I feel like, yeah, like to sing it like in the maybe. Voice
maybe.
I have a memory of that, and you were like always, you're like, fuck, like I gotta do this again.
I don't remember, but
yeah, like I feel like it was like the hockey house people.
I do a pretty good impression, I will say. No, but there's
so like, this is why you were so gung-ho about when I said this song in the text.
Well, I really like this song, and I think the part of the fun is the lyric and the delivery of the lyric. Because he's not rapping, he's not singing. There's somewhat of a melody, but not.
I know where you're going here.
It reminds me. I'll tell you what it is. A little bit of Cake.
It's a little cakey. Sure,
Cake kind of does that where he kind of sort of raps, but not
talking. Yeah.
It's almost like spoken word to a catchy upbeat song.
Sing songy. Yeah.
I'm gonna say time and place. That's what this boils down to. Really, it's
nostalgia.
I didn't hear it in the same time period like you did, in a way that it stuck with me while I was listening to things that I was currently getting into in like 95, 96. That's when I started like really digging into like 311 and Pennywise and
311's a good reference for it.
Like that's, and Blur, like that was like right on the edge of like the tapes to CDs, where you're still getting tapes, but like CDs started coming into the stores.
But also radio too. That's what I meant to say earlier about context, is everyone listened to the radio still at this time.
Yeah, but that's when I started getting away from it, because my brother was like in the inline crowd, and I was friends with this other guy that was down the street that was in that whole thing, and they had like these, it was before, like it was the X Game soundtracks where you had like a certain kind of vibe, grungy, like proggy kind of stuff, and then punk. So I started like really heavily just like not listening to the radio as much and like just listening to what all these people were. And then like, so like all those really poppy things that came out around that time in my life just didn't, like, it wasn't a time and place thing for me anymore. So like when I hear them later, I'm just like, I don't have that nostalgia. I don't have that connection
to it. Yeah.
Like I've heard it. Like I definitely know. Like it wasn't like I listened to it today and I was like, what's this thing?
What's going on here? What's this about?
What a weird song. Like I fucking know it. It just wasn't ever that level to me.
I think I was equally steering away from radio at that time, finding my own records, getting into my own shit, listening to punk bands that my brother showed me, and buying my own albums and shit. But I think that's also part of why I thought Sugar Ray wrote it, because I was so oblivious to radio at that time. It had that general kind of vibe to me. I was like, it's just another fun radio song, you know, something that my dad might put on or something.
That's what it was for, you know, that's what it was for me. I think it's part nostalgia, but again, I'm gonna defend the vibe of the song that comes on at a party. You're not gonna be like, what the fuck is that? You know, it's like, yeah, it there's a sunny, upbeat vibe to that. That,
yeah, I mean,
it's somewhat undeniable in my opinion.
I pick exactly up on way. Like, I feel like they enjoyed themselves making that track. Like, they must have. Like, I would have. I think they came home from the studio and listened to their first mix.
Like,
and
ah, yeah, like,
yo, we got something here. Yeah. They were like, oh, yeah, baby, driving me crazy.
Nobody loses sleep over making a song like that. Nobody's like, ah, you know, like, I really think we need to bring up the shaker and the chorus. It's gonna
the
fuck
accordion.
It up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a, there's nobody that's thinking hard about that track. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it just like, oh, yep, that's not like it made everybody go like this in the studio, and they're like, yeah, that's it.
That's right.
Let's print it.
Let's talk. I mean, there are horns though, and the horns are like, you know, that blaring trumpet is like perfect.
Yeah. Yeah,
they didn't care about the tuning of the lead of, you know, classical guitar or whatever it is in the intro. Yeah. But the horns are like fucking auto-tuned. They're so fucking tight. It's
definitely
really
a sample.
It's an interesting tune. Is it sample, you think?
I gotta be
like a keyboard, maybe?
No, I don't know what's going on with the verses, but I have a theory why the zeitgeist, as Connor calls it, is kind of repicked up this song and like is really embracing it. I think, yeah, maybe somebody stumbled upon it, was looking for something bizarre, and just it like took off. But I think
how you insert a meme.
Yeah, but my theory is that I think that because the song has this feel good nature, and the hook is this, oh, how bizarre, you know? I feel like it's just a great way to cope with shit right now. You know, like we have choices
out of your control. Yeah,
we have choices on how we respond to all the crazy shit going on. And we could be like all broody about it, or we could be like, dirt, 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 dirt. How bizarre everything is, guys. You know, and just keep going about your life, you know? I don't know. That's my theory.
I wonder if it would have been a TikTok hit had COVID not been a thing.
Right.
I ask myself that about a lot of things.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good question. But I'm honestly glad that you're the contrarian voice here, because I didn't want everyone to be like, love it, done, you know. And I'll be
your devil anytime, buddy.
Well, the thing is, like, there's a lot to not like about this song, and I understand it, you know. I understand that,
like, yeah. Yeah,
I know.
Is, yeah, right? I've been saying it. I'm tired of you guys defending it. I'm alone over here.
All right, quick responses then. Eric, where do you stand?
Thumbs down.
John, where do you stand?
I mean, I mean, Sugar Ray's pretty all right.
Good for them, man. They got rich off of that song. Like, that's fucking awesome.
Sugar Ray made a whole career out of that song.
Yeah, so man, I give it a thumbs up.
And so did Cake, by the way.
Just for the record, wow. I feel like Cake was around before that.
No, I honestly love Cake. I was joking. Eric got pissed. I could see.
Yeah, I was reluctantly crouched at the starting line for that.
Oh, I actually had a weird, bizarre tidbit of the record, though.
Okay, go.
Oh, please.
I was on the wiki. Apparently, on the second release issued in the U.S. only, the final track is a Randy Newman cover. They do "I Love L.A.", which is so weird. How bizarre!
I want to hear that. I want to hear the Randy Newman cover.